Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. The best way to develop effective and successful people skills is by allowing the irresistible charm of Jesus to flow through you to every person you meet, giving you supernatural favor in every situation. The favor of God allows us to walk into any room, meeting, venue, or anywhere else with the absolute confidence in knowing that our great God, Jehovah, is flowing through us. Yesterday, we began talking about seven practical skills that you can utilize in winning friends and influencing people. Number one, show yourself friendly. Hebrews 13:2, Classic Amplified. Do not forget or neglect or refuse to extend hospitality to strangers and the brotherhood, being friendly, cordial, and gracious, sharing the comforts of your home and doing your part generously, for through it, some have entertained angels without knowing it. I encourage you to be the kind of friend that you want to have.
Number two, be confident in your body language. Our body language should reflect who we are in Him. So how do we find out what our body language is saying to other people? Maybe by looking in the mirror. Assess how you look when dealing with various emotions, and you'll know how you appear to other people.
Number three, keep your voice pleasant. Make a decision to keep your voice pleasant, regardless of your conversation. A pleasant voice can change even a most hostile conversation and environment. Proverbs 16:24. Classic Amplified Bible. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the mind and healing to the body. Our manner of speech sends a message about us, whether we realize it or not.
And let me say, add in one thing on a person who's passionate, which happens to be me. Sometimes you can start raising your voice when you get so excited about something. And we have to watch ourselves.
So it's not perceived incorrectly.
That's correct.
Now let's pick up where we left off yesterday.
Number four, be an effective witness, not a weird one. I've always had a passionate interest in politics because I picked it up from my husband, who's uber passionate about politics, and from a long time ago. And my husband was always very good at political strategy. In years gone by, really, his advice was sought by many people in going into elective office. However, it may come to a surprise that over the years, we probably watched less and less on television. And the reason is simple. We just don't like the rudeness or the apparent lack of manners displayed by so many hosts and guests. You know, we consider talking over other people in poor taste. And for one thing, if you're listening to it, you don't hear anything either one of them are saying. Now, it doesn't matter whether we agree or not politically. The point is to give a person the courtesy of hearing their viewpoint. And as you might imagine, as we say all the time, is making the last statement doesn't always mean that you win.
And sometimes we even know that what they're saying is wrong.
What does it matter?
Yeah.
The point is, in taking all of that in, and that's what we get into a lot of times, we're talking about being an effective witness. It really has nothing to do with handing out tracts or being confrontational for your evangelistic approach. It has everything to do with living the kind of life that Christ would live, so that when people meet you, then they know that there's something very different about you and your life. When we live our lives in such a way that the fruit of the Spirit is evident to the people around us, that is our greatest witness. We could witness to a few people who are on talk shows, too.
Yes.
But with a Spirit-led lifestyle, coworkers and friends You don't have to say a word about the Lord. When something happens, they're going to seek out your godly advice when they're going through tough times, because they're going to recognize it in you. In 1 Peter 3, verse 15 in the Classic Amplified, it says, "But in your heart set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is living within you." Excuse me, it says the hope that is in you. "But do it courteously and respectfully." We don't need to be abrupt, abrasive, or inappropriate in our words when we're trying to witness or live our lives. In Ephesians 4, verse 29 in Ephesians in the Classic Amplified, it gives us this advice. "Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, and as fitting is the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it." Hallelujah.
Number 5, be a listener. Some years ago, I read a survey where people, it said that people speak to the needs and interests of other people only about 3% of the time in their conversations. The other 97% of the time, people more preoccupied with their own thoughts and feelings than, well, those of whoever they're talking to. We pointed out numerous times that the words, the letters listen, also create the word silent. And that means we need to learn to be a little better listener than we are a talker. Because when you listen, you truthfully find out more. James 1:19, Classic Amplified Bible. "Understand this, my brother," my beloved brother. I like that. "Understand this, my beloved brother, that everyone, every man, be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry." I think it's significant James 1:19 begins with the word "understand." See, we have to understand. That said, before we're told to be ready listeners. In 15 different translations, it says, "Anyone with ears to hear shall hear and understand." Actually, not translations, honey. 15 different scriptures.
Wow.
I said that wrong. Here's a quote from Dale Carnegie. "Talk to someone about themselves, and they'll listen for hours."
There you go. Truth told.
There's an old saying, people never care what you know until they know how much you care.
That's true.
People's perception of how much you care is often guided by how well you listen. I encourage you to go to haroldherring.com, search for a teaching we did called 7 Keys to Being an Effective Listener.
Number 6, be prepared. You know, we've spoken on this recently, and the point of it is I don't think you can talk on it too much. Stop waiting, stop procrastinating, it's time to start moving. Ezekiel 38, verse 7 in the New Living Translation says, "Get ready, be prepared. Keep all the armies around you mobilized and take command of them." We have our own little army, our army of "let's get it going." As we begin this journey, if there is ever a time when you don't know what to do, follow the advice of General Joshua in Joshua 5, verse 14, this in the New Living Translation. And this is what it says. "Neither one of you replied, 'I am the commander of the Lord's army.' At this time, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. 'I am at your command,' Joshua said. 'What do you want your servant to do?'" If we ask the Lord and are patiently waiting for his reply, he'll tell us. What are we waiting for? The World English Dictionary defines preparation as this: the act of process or process of preparing in the state of being prepared, readiness. Preparation is a mental decision because before it ever becomes a practical reality. Before any well-trained soldier is going to go into battle, he or she is going to inspect their equipment, make sure they're fully prepared to face and defeat the enemy that they're going to be facing. In preparation for spiritual warfare, The most important thing we can do is sanctify ourselves for battle. And this was done in Joshua 7, verse 13. Joshua 7, 13 in the New Living Translation. And this is what he says. Get up, command the people to purify themselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Hidden among you, O Israel, are things set apart for the Lord. You will never defeat your enemies until you remove these things from among you. So how do we purify ourselves for battle? One, we enter into his presence. Two, we keep read up, reading our instruction manual, battle plan, that's the word of God. Three, we repent as soon as we realize we need to. Number four, eliminate any doubt about the outcome of your mission. Number five, receive your forgiveness. Number six, determine who will be in the foxhole with you. And number seven, get out in front of your battle by praising God. In Joshua 3, verse 5, that should be our expectation for each new day. Joshua 3, verse 5 says, for tomorrow Jehovah will do wonders among you. If we want to be successful, we can never ignore or minimize preparation time. The price for success, listen to me now, the price for success is always paid in advance of our victory, never after the fact.
Number seven, build bridges, don't tear them down. A wise person will speak to every person they meet. You'll ask the name of your server at the restaurant or the cashier at the dry cleaners. You'll want to know the name of the customers in your office. Even better, if you know the names of their spouse and children. Always seek to build bridges to other people, whether they seem significant or insignificant at the moment. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This scripture is talking about building bridges. James Buchanan Brady, a New Yorker who lived in the early 1900s, was affectionately known to his friends as Diamond Jim. He was amazingly successful. As the story goes, he was one of the first businessmen to ever use an expense account to develop relationships. Diamond Jim had a lot of friends, money, and respect. He had three rules for personal success. Number one, win the trust of others by being trustworthy. Number two, win the respect of others by being respectful. And third, win the friendship of others by being friendly. One last word from us. Never burn bridges with friends or acquaintances. You never know when you might be traveling that road again. Colossians 3:13, the Classic Amplified Bible. Be gentle and forbearing with one another. If one has a difference, a grievance, or complaint against another, readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive. This kind of attitude will definitely give you the reputation as a person with irresistible people skills.
Like Jesus.
Think about these things. Go to HaroldHerring.com, check out this week's 2-minute video. You've been blessed by the teaching up at the top, where it says, sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.